All right, Jabosai, good morning or good night, everyone. I'm going to begin this morning. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Really incredible daf. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors. To thank the Ram Mishpacha from Toronto for dedicating the shiur this morning, Daf Yomi this morning, in memory of Mr. Ringo's mother, Esther Fega Bas Yitzchak. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family a Nechama. We also thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan, Frank and Debbie Spector, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos this month in deep gratitude to the Kehillah. Paul and Kathy Palik for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos this month in memory of Paul's father, Shmuel ben Zechariah, his mother Sarah Bas Avram, great-grandmother Cyril Bas Reb Dov. We thank our Daf Yomi sponsors, Heshi and Sandy Schoenfeld, and Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld, for dedicating the Shiur in the memory of Heshi's mother, Selina Schoenfeld, Sarah Leah Bas Moshe Halevi. We thank Dr. and Mrs. Miller for dedicating the shiur this morning in memory of Mrs. Miller's mother, Eska Pearl Bas Hirschlev. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah and the families a Nechama. And I will say, with that, let us begin. So again, as I mentioned before, incredible daf ahead of us today. Jeremy, just you'll do me a favor and send me a list of who's on. Maybe like... even by like 8 o'clock, we'll see. I think 8 o'clock is a good metric. Who's on for the shiur this week? Could give a little preemptive chizuk to those who are missing. All right, so with that, let us begin. And again, I want to take the opportunity really to give an incredible yashar koach to Jeremy, who set us up, and to Maishi, of course, this really who are like running our back end of operations with all of this. I am not a technologically easy person to work with, which the simple translation of that is I'm a technology, I'm a aretz. So because of that, they mamish have to hold my hand with every shear and every step of the way, and do so with such poise without ever losing their patience, even though they've explained things to me 15 times. Whatever it is, we all have our weaknesses. All right, Debose, so thank you. Thank you to our entire technology team who allows Torah to go on no matter what is happening in the world around us. So, Debose, with that, let us begin. We have a beautiful Gemara today. Today's daf is Lamed Tes 39, and we are picking up at the Mishnah Lamed Ches Amud Beis. So actually, we're beginning the Sugya today, which is going to take us through the days of Yom Tov, which unfortunately we're not going to have the opportunity to do together, but actually is a great sugya, not just for Hilchos Shabbos, but also for Hilchos Yom Tov, as you will see. Says the Mishnah, Ein nosin beitza betzad hamecham b'shul shetiskalgal. You cannot put an egg. Betzad hamecham, mecham literally, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says kumkum, or kumkumus shal nechoshes, a kettle or a pot. So Rashi defines it as a kettle or a pot made of copper, made of nechoshes. Again, the material is not really all that important. The idea is that it's metal. So you're putting an egg now next to a metal kettle. Now, the reason for that is b'shul shetisgalgel. Now, see, interestingly enough, tisgalgel literally means that the egg will roll. So that the egg will roll. What's the pshat? The egg will roll. Look at Rashi. B'shul shetisgalgel. Shetisle kitzas. So apparently, raw eggs don't roll, but once an egg is slightly roasted, it rolls. So we'll say, first of all, incredible chalamayit activity. This actually might be the only chalamayit activity. So I would urge you to take advantage of this with your mishpachas. So the idea is, apparently, a lightly roasted egg does have the ability to roll. So I will say, yeah, forget about rolling for just a moment. That's not the ikar. The ikar over here is I'm putting the egg next to the kettle, ultimately, again, in order that it should become lightly roasted. I don't need the egg to become fully roasted. The truth is, Chazal operate with the idea that a raw egg already is somewhat edible. See, everybody thought that Lahavdil, like it was Rocky, who came up with the idea of drinking raw eggs. So it's not true. So apparently, again, already Bizmani Gimara, they understood that a raw egg is technically edible, and therefore all you really need to do to even make it more edible is just lightly roast it. So the way you would lightly roast it is you put it next to a hot kettle. So the Mishnah says, you can't do that on Shabbos. Can't do that on Shabbos. Okay, again, we'll get into the dynamics of this. Similarly, velo yafkeena bisudarin. It was very interesting. Similarly, you should not roast an egg, or for that matter, you know, crack an egg open and cook it. Sudar is a scarf, a piece of material. And I will say what we're talking about over here is you have a piece of material that has been heated up by the sun. This is what we're going to call toldas chamo, things that are heated up by the sun. So now I have a piece of material, a sudar, a scarf, that is very hot. I want to crack an egg open on it, or for that matter, leave the egg whole. It doesn't really matter. But let's say a moment, I want to crack the egg open on it and cook the egg on the heated scarf. So again, the Rabbanan say the first opinion of the Mishnah says, do not do this. Rashi says over here, "V'lo yafkein b'sudarin, lo yishperena al sudar shehucham b'chama, kedei shetisla mechoma shel sudar." You should not crack the egg open and cook it on the scarf, which has been heated by the sun. Rabbi Yossi Matir. However, Rabbi Yossi permits you to go ahead and do this. Rabbi Yossi says you can cook an egg on a scarf heated by the sun. "V'lo yat minena b'chol u'ba'avak drachim." Similarly, you should not take an egg and go ahead and I'll say now in this case, if you can imagine, yatimena b'chol means I have hot sand and I want to bury the egg in hot sand. Uba avak trachim, or bury the egg in hot dirt from the road. Bishul shathisla, you should not do this. So you should not go ahead. And I will say, now, interestingly enough, remember, the sand is also heated by the sun. The dirt is also heated by the sun. Yet the Mishnah says that according to everyone, one is not permitted to heat up an egg or to cook an egg this way on Shabbat. So I will say, so just to pause here for just a moment. So here's what we have. Case number one in the Mishnah is what we call toldos or. You have a kettle that is heated by fire. The Mishnah tells me, do not put an egg next to that kettle in order to lightly roast the egg on Shabbos. Good. Case one, no one disagrees. Case two, So that's case one. Case number two is I have a scarf that's been heated up by the sun. That's called toldas chamo. It's been heated up by the sun. Now I want to go ahead and cook an egg on that scarf. The Rabbanon say no. Rabbi Yossi says yes. Case number three, I want to roast an egg by burying it again in hot sand or in hot dirt from the road. And apparently in that case, everyone agrees that you should not do so. There will say, you see the Avish Shaila already. The Gemara is going to ask, why does Rabbi Yossi only argue on the case of the scarf heated up by the sun, but yet doesn't argue in the case of the sand or the dirt? Hold on for just a bit. Next. Maisa Sha'asu Anshei Tiberia. Interesting story. There was an episode that occurred in Tiberia. Ve'aviyu silon shel tzonon l'soch ama shel chamin. So we'll say, so there's a little bit of machlokes exactly why they did this. But the truth is, the reason doesn't matter all that much. Here's what they did. Tiberia is known, still known today, till today, for its hot springs. So you had people who didn't want to bathe in the hot springs, for whatever the reason, either because maybe the hot springs weren't so clean, or it could also be that the hot springs were just too hot. So they had an interesting chap. They wanted to create the bathing pool. So what they did is they took cold water, they had a body of cold water, they ran a pipe from the body of cold water through the hot springs of Tiberia, and the contents of that pipe were then empty into another pool that they would use for bathing. The chap of running the pipe through the hot springs was what? The water became heated. So they took cold water, heated it through running a pipe through the hot springs of Tiberia, dumped that water into another bathing pool that they then subsequently used. Amr lehem chachamim. So Chum said to them, Im b'shabis kicham and shuchum b'shabis v'asrim b'rechitza b'shtia. So if you're doing this on Shabbos, I'm saying, remember, they set this up. They obviously set up the pipe system before Shabbos. But the cold water is running through the pipes, right? The cold water is going through the pipes and through the Chamei Tiberia on Shabbos. So the rabbi said to the people of Tiberia, if the water is coming through the pipes on Shabbos, then it's like water that has been heated up on Shabbos, in which case you are not permitted to use it to wash and you can't even use it for drinking. Ve'im b'yamtiv, and if all of this happened on yamtiv, kecham and shukhmu b'yamtiv, therefore again it's the equivalent of hot water which was heated on yamtiv, and therefore va'asrun b'rechitza, you cannot use it for washing, umutarn b'shtia, but you can go ahead and use it for drinking. Good, so we'll have to see the Tiberia case in the Gemara. So we'll say we go by here. La mitesam adalav tapa the Gemara. Here we go. I'm sorry. End of the Gemara first. Ibai luhu. Gilgal Mai. So Moshe, the Gemara asks an interesting shaila. We know that for all malacha, it's not just enough to do an act. You must do a constructive act, which means that your act must pass over a certain threshold. So for example, Moshe, we saw and we'll see again by Hotzah, when it comes to carrying, if you carry a grain of sand, you're not chayiv for hotzah for that. In order to go ahead and violate the malacha, you have to do something substantive. So the Gemara says, let me ask you, this notion of going ahead, like the Mishnah introduced us to, of roasting an egg just a little bit so that it has the ability to roll, is such a small act of roasting considered to be something significant for Hilchos Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Gilgal Chayiv Chatas. Rav Yosef says, yes. In fact, roasting an egg enough so that it has the ability to roll is considered to be like a bona fide act of cooking. And if you were to do so on Shabbos b'shogeg, accidentally, you would be Chayiv Chatas. Amar Marbrei Dravina, Afanar Nami Tines. We'll say, what the Gemara is fascinated by this is as follows. The act, apparently, there's a minimal amount of roasting that's necessary in order to allow an egg to become rollable. Okay, not the best English, but you understand the point. So the idea is, the Gemara is intrigued by this idea that such a small act could actually create the chiv on Hilchos Shabbos. So the Gemara says, oh, I'm going to show you this applies in other cases as well. This is actually quite fascinating. Top of Lamentes. Kol Sheba Bechamin Milifnei Shabbos. Shabbos say, interestingly enough, as the Gemara is going to introduce us to now, is as follows. There were certain exceptionally salty items. Normally, again, this was in the form of certain fish which were very salty, that the only thing you needed to do to prepare them was to wash them in hot water. It didn't really require any other form of cooking. Just the act of washing it in hot water, I guess, took away some of the excessive saltiness, which then allowed it to be fit for consumption. So it says the Gemara, Kol Sheba Bechamim Milifnei Shabbos, Shoen Oso Bechamim B'Shabbos. As long as you took the salty fish, and you washed it in hot water on Shabbos, you could continue to soak it, you could re-immerse it in hot water on Shabbos itself. In other words, we'll say, since you did the primary washing of the item on Erev Shabbos in hot water, therefore, again, it's rendered fit for consumption, you could put it back into hot water on Shabbos, and that's not called bishul. However, v'chol shelo ba b'chamin milifnei Shabbos, madichin oso b'chamin b'Shabbos, they will say, even an item, ultimately, again, that was not washed in hot water on Shabbos, you could rinse it in hot water. Or you can't soak it in hot water on Shabbos, but you could rinse it. Rashi says, Madichin, she'in ze gimar melachto, aval lo shorin. So we'll say, so certain salty items, which really require being soaked in hot water. See, if you soaked it in hot water before Shabbos, you rendered it fully fit for consumption, so you could even re-soak it on Shabbos itself. But if you didn't soak it on Erev Shabbos, you can't soak it on Shabbos, but you could rinse it on Shabbos. Rinsing it on Shabbos will be enough. With one exception, chutz min hamaliach yashan, v'kulios ha'ispanin. Both with the exception of maluach yashan means something that is salted and aged. It's been aged for a while in its salt, or kulios ha'ispanin. So kulios ha'ispanin actually translates, Rashi says, dag shekorin tunina. So whether this was some type of tuna, or actually the translation that's often used for this is Spanish mackerel. Okay, there was a certain type of fish that apparently, again, you could get rid of the saltiness without even soaking it. All you need to do is kind of just wash it quickly with hot water. So that type of fish, you would not be permitted to wash with hot water on Shabbos, because that act of washing ultimately, again, would ready it for consumption. Shadachasan zoi gmar melachtan, because of this type of fish, the kulyas ha'ispan and the maliach yashan, just wiping it down, just rinsing it down with water, makes it fit for consumption. That's the gemar melachton, shema mina. So we'll say, what's the shema mina? The shema mina is, you see, that by certain food items, it only takes a relatively small act to make it fit for consumption. That's the chap over here. So we'll say, the idea being, remember, the Gemara was intrigued that placing an egg, I have a raw egg, placing it by a kettle and just roasting it enough so that it will roll is considered to be a malacha of bishul on Shabbos. There is a very minimal amount of roasting that is necessary to allow an egg to roll, right? Very minimal amount of cooking. The Gemara is intrigued. Are you telling me that such a minimal act will generate a chiv of, right, a chiv chatos on Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, yes. Unless you think that this is the only case, we see other examples in the case of salted food items where you can see like a relatively minor act of washing it down or soaking it in hot water actually affects a bishul type of situation. Good. Next. So let's remember again, case number 2 in the Mishnah was cracking an egg, or for that matter, cooking the egg even in its shell, doesn't really matter, but cooking it or allowing it to cook in a scarf heated by the sun. So remember again, the Rabbanon said, you are not permitted to do that. Rabbi Yossi said, you are permitted to do that. So here we go. Brothers, we learned in another Mishnah. We'll see this. Kuf Mem Hey Amud Beis. 145. Okay, so just another couple of months. We'll get to this Mishnah. You could put food in a pit, Bishvil Shihei Shamar, in order that it's guarded. Now, we'll say, we're not going to get into this now. The Gemara is going to ask, like, what exactly is the chiddush in some of these statements? Okay, but you could go ahead and put a cooked food, a tafshil, into a pit in order that it should be preserved. Or you could put a utensil filled with good water inside of a body of quote unquote bad water, unfit water, in order that the good water will cool down. We'll say, what else can you do? You could put cold water in the sun in order that what? The cold water should be heated up. Which I will say tells you what? Tells you what? That on Shabbos, you are permitted to use the heat of the sun to even cook things, right? Certainly to heat up things. Now, I will say, if you notice over here, no one is disputing this statement. So what's happening here? Says the Gemara, Lema, Rabbi Yossi Hivalo Rabbanan. It must be at this statement that you could put cold water in the sun in order for the cold water to heat up must reflect the view of Rabbi Yossi, not the Rabbanan. Because remember, going back in the Mishnah, what did the Rabbanan say? If you have a scarf that is heated up by the sun, can you cook an egg on it? The Rabbanan say, no. Which tells us that according to the Rabbanan, you cannot use the heat of the sun in order to cook. So it must be that the Mishnah later on that says that you could heat up water in the sun must reflect the view of Rabbi Yossi and not the view of the Rabbanan. To which the Gemara says, listen to this, I will say, here we go, Amr Rav Nachman, here we go. They will say, this is an incredibly yisodistic line, which you're going to see halacha l'maisa. Here we go, Amr Rav Nachman, b'chaman d'kuli amalo pligi d'shari. They will say, everyone agrees that halacha l'maisa, you can go ahead and cook stuff in the sun on Shabbos. If for argument's sake, it's hot enough outside, and you want to go ahead and cook something in the heat of the sun, or warm something up in the heat of the sun, you are permitted to do that on Shabbos. Now, when we say permitted, so we'll have to see what that means. What that means is certainly there's no biblical liability. Is there rabbinic liability? Remains to be seen. But the idea is you're permitted to cook things in the heat of the sun. It says Rashi, why is that? This is very important. Why is that? Rashi says, Deshari, de'ein derech bishula b'kach. Ultimately, because that's not the way people cook stuff. People do not cook with the heat of the sun. So because of that, there's no problem doing it on Shabbos. And therefore, Rashi says, V'chama ba'or lo michlefa de ligzar ha'atuha. And I will say, furthermore, there's no concern that if we allow you to use the heat of the sun, that you're going to come to go ahead and use the heat of fire. So this is very important. So number one, you could cook in the sun because that's not the normal way to cook. People don't use the heat of the sun to cook. That's number one. But maybe you'll say, we should prohibit the sun lest you come to go ahead and use fire. So sun and fire are not really interchangeable. And we're not concerned that if someone uses the heat of the sun, they may come to go ahead and end up using fire. Watch this. So the Gemara says, similarly, but told us are kuli amalo pligi de aser. They both say, so just like everyone agrees that you could cook in the heat of the sun, everyone also agrees that you may not cook in something that was heated up by fire. That's called toldas or. So I'll say, ultimately, again, if you have an item that was heated up by fire, you cannot go ahead and use that. Because I will say, so for example, let's say you have a piece of metal. You have a piece of metal and you heat that up with the fire, right? And now you go ahead and you remove that from the fire. You cannot go ahead and cook on that item. That is called toldas ar. That is called toldas ar, something heated by fire. I will say, why can't you use that on Shabbos? Because again, I will say, people could easily confuse that which is heated up by fire with ultimately fire itself. So everyone agrees that you can't cook on Shabbos or even heat something up on Shabbos, something that has been heated by fire. Leave aside the blech for just a moment. We'll come back to that. So the Gemara says, ki pligi. So where do they argue? Betoldas achama. So we'll say, so for example, just so you know, the case of toldas achama, we'll say that's the first case in the Mishnah. That's heating up the egg next to the kettle. The kettle's being heated up by the fire. I'm not using the fire to heat up the egg. I'm using the heat of the kettle to heat up the egg. That's called toldas ar. That's called using something heated by the fire. Everyone agrees you cannot do that lest you come to use fire itself. Watch this. Keep pligi. So we'll say, so where does the machlokes come up? Keep it toldas achama. So we'll say the machlokes comes up with something heated by the sun. Watch this. So we'll say, see here what's happening over here? Everyone agrees that cooking in the sun is not problematic on Shabbos. Everyone agrees that, of course, a fire is problematic. We don't even have to mention that. And not only is a fire problematic, but that which is heated up by the fire is also problematic. So where is the machlokes? What happens if you have something heated up by the sun? Here we go. So the Gemara says, Mar Savar Gazvina Toldas Chama Atu Toldas Ar. So for example, the Rabbanon in the Mishnah holds that Halacha L'maisa, we don't want you using something heated up by the sun, lest you come to use something heated up by fire, because those two are very interchangeable. So therefore, for example, in the Mishnah, the Rabbanon say, you cannot cook an egg on a scarf that is heated by the sun, lest you come to go ahead and use something that is heated up by fire. Umar Savar, on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi will hold that what? That Halacha L'maisa lo gazrinan. Ultimately, again, we're not worried. Rabbi Yossi says, no. We're not concerned that if you use something heated by the sun, then ultimately, again, you'll go ahead and come to use something heated by fire. So if Rabbi Yossi, what comes out of here is as follows. Everyone agrees you can't cook with fire. Good, you can't eat anything with fire. That we all know. Not only that, you also can't use anything heated by fire, even if you're not using the fire itself. That everyone agrees with. Everyone also agrees that you can use the heat of the sun. So what's the machlokes case? This is fascinating. Machlokes case is toldos or something heated by the sun. The Rabbanan say aser, lest you come to confuse toldos chamo with toldos or. Rabbi Yossi says mutter, because one will not come to confuse that which is heated by the sun with that which is heated by fire. So let's go weiter. So the Gemara says, V'lo yat mina b'chol. Rabbi Yossi, remember again. So that explains the second case now in the Mishnah. Case number two in the Mishnah of I want to cook an egg on a scarf that's been heated up by the sun. The Rabbanan say, can't do it. Can't use toldas chamo, lest you come to use toldas ar. Rabbi Yossi says, it's permitted. Now we come to third case. Third case was that you can't go ahead and cover an egg in sand that has been heated by the sun, nor can you go ahead and cover an egg, ultimately again, in the dirt of the road that's been heated by the sun. And I both say, if you notice, what's missing over here in this case? Rabbi Yossi's disagreement, right? Rabbi Yossi does not go ahead and argue in this case, even though, again, this is a case of toldas chamo. This is a case of item being heated up by the sun, yet Rabbi Yossi does not lodge any disagreement. But liflog nam Rabbi Yossi baha, why doesn't Rabbi Yossi disagree in this case as well? To which the Amar says, Rabba Amar gezer shemiyat min beremetz. Because what Rabbi Yossi says, I don't like this case of where you're covering the egg with hot sand or with hot dirt. Why? I have a concern that if we allow this, you may come to go ahead and cover the egg with hot ash. This looks too much. I will say, remember, one of the ways they used to cook is you would cover an item with hot ash. Using hot sand or hot dirt, even though it has not been heated by fire, it's been heated by the sun. So Rabbi Yossi's mouth should be technically mutter, because this looks too much like a case of covering something with hot ash. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't want anyone doing it. Rashi says, Shemiyat min beremetz, demand the chazi savre michte, hailibashule, vahailibashule, vitervayu darachatmono, Mali Remetz, Mali Chol, Mishum Hakim, whatever it is. Rabbi Yossi is literally concerned that if we allow you to do this, people will come to go ahead and cover an item and cook it with hot ash as well. Which, of course, would be an Isra D'oraisa. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the reason Rabbi Yossi has a problem with this case is, Mipnei Shemezis Afar Mimkomo. So I'll say, this is very interesting. So over here, there's two possibilities. Rashi points out that we're concerned that a person is going to come to move dirt, right? Move dirt, move sand. What's the problem with that? See, interestingly enough, the Parsha problem is Muktza. So that's the Rasha brings that down, others bring that down. Rashi here actually says the problem is kichofer guma, that you may come to dig a hole, right? In your effort to go ahead and accumulate or gather the sand or the dirt to one place, you may come to dig up, creating a hole. Okay, either way, the issue over here is either one of moving a muktza, moving a hole. So we'll say my benah. So remember again, so now we understand why Rabbi Yossi is not disagreeing in this case. Even though Rabbi Yossi holds that normally you're permitted to use toldos chama, you can use that which was heated up by the sun on Shabbos. In this case of covering an egg with sand or with dirt, he doesn't like it. He agrees with the Rabbanon that you can't do it. Why? Machlokis and Rabbi Yossi. Either because it looks like covering something in hot ash, which is problematic, or because, again, you're going to create a guma, you're going to create a furrow, which is a potential problem of choresh, of plowing, or the movement of mukta. Ma ben Abbas, what's the practical difference between these two opinions? Ika ben Ehu, afer tichuach. So what's the nafkamini would be, what happens if you already had loose dirt, right? Or you already had loose sand. So if you already had loose sand, so technically speaking, the gzera that you may come to cover the item in hot ash, that would still apply. But lemaisa, if the concern is creation of a guma or mukta, then this concern ultimately, again, would not apply. Nesir, Shimon Gamliel Omer, Megal Gilin Beitza, Al Gabe Gag Roseach, Shimon Gamliel says, that you can go ahead, I will say, remember, Megal Gilin literally means roll, but it doesn't mean roll, meaning you could lightly roast an egg until it would roll on top of a burning hot roof. Suppose say hot summer day, you have a roof, whatever the material of the roof is made of, it's a hot day, the roof is hot, you want to lightly roast the egg on the top of the roof. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you are permitted to do so. Ve'in megalgalin beitza agabe sidro seach. But I will say, what can't you do? You can't go ahead and roast the egg next to boiling lime. So also remember again, the way they would boil lime, right, or plaster, is they would heat it over fire. So again, heating the egg by the boiling lime or plaster, that's toldos or. So you can't heat the egg through toldos or, but apparently Rosh Hashanah says you can roast the egg on a rooftop. Because how does the rooftop get hot? Through the sun. That's toldos chamo. Bishlom lamam d'amar gzeru shamiyat nimbe remetz. We'll see if you hold that Rabbi Yossi holds that the issue with sand or the issue ultimately again with dirt is that if we allow it to use it, you may come to coat or you may come to cover the item in burning ash, then I understand why you could roast the egg on the rooftop because that concern doesn't apply over here. Elamand Amram Neshamaz is Aframim Komo. Ligzar Stam Gag. Ligzar. People say, why don't we go ahead and be concerned? Why don't we say that? No, you can't roast the egg on top of the roof because maybe again you'll go ahead and gather some dirt from the top of the roof and roast the egg that way. To which the Gemara says, Stam Gag Lespe Afar. Because the way their roofs were constructed is that a Stam roof does not have loose dirt on it. So therefore, again, there's no concern that if you roast the egg on the roof, you may come to gather dirt together, thereby either moving mukta or creating a guma, creating a furrow. Good. Tashma. Let's analyze. Maisa sha'asu anshe tiverio ve'viyo silon shaltsoni l'soch ama shalchamen. So we'll remember again, next case up now. So we'll say, here's what we know. We know that the fundamental machlokas that's happening over here is regarding toldos chama. If you have an item being heated up by the sun, did Rabbanon say that ultimately, again, an item heated up by the sun is going to be prohibited for use? You can't use it to warm anything up on Shabbos. Why not? Out of the concern that you may come to confuse toldos chama with toldos sa'or, with an item heated up by fire. Rabbi Yossi has no such concern. Rabbi Yossi says, toldos chama is just like chama itself. Simply, you can heat up stuff in the sun. You can heat up items ultimately with something heated up from the sun as well. The one exception to that rule is using hot sand or using hot dirt that was heated up by the sun. In that case, even Rabbi Yossi would agree that halacha lamaisa, you're not permitted to do it for the reasons we mentioned before. Now, the Gemara is going to use this as a segue into the next case. Remember the Tiberia story. The people of Tiberia ran a pipe of cold water through the hot springs and dumped that heated water into another pool that they then wanted to use. So now watch this. Bishlam lamanda amar. So let's remember again. Now, similarly, in this case, everyone seems to agree that halacha lamaisa, what the people of Tiberia were doing, was problematic legabi Shabbos. Even Rabbi Yossi doesn't disagree. So watch this. Bishlam lamanda amar gezer shemin yatnim beremetz haynu didam yelahatmana. So we'll say, if you hold that the reason Rabbi Yossi says that you can't use sand heated up by the sun is because anytime you insulate the egg, it looks like we worry about the potential of you coming to insulate it and cover it with hot ash. That concern would apply over here also. Why, Rabbi Yossi? Because essentially, what are you doing to the cold water? You're burying it, or you're insulating it in the Chamitiver, in the hot springs. That has the appearance of going ahead and covering something with hot ash. So I understand how even Rabbi Yossi would not be happy with the practice of the people of Tiberia, lest you come to go ahead and bury something in hot ash. But according to the opinion that says Rabbi Yossi didn't like the use of hot sand, even though it's heated by the sun, because it causes you to move dirt or causes you to move sand from its place, which either is a problem of mukta or is a problem of chafira, of digging, of creating a furrow. Why would the practice of Tiberia be problematic? Bosset is incredible. Do you think that the episode of Tiberia is going on? Do you think that the problem of Tiberia is a problem of toldos chama? Is a problem of item heated up by the sun? Aresha koi, it's going on the first case. Lo yafkena bisudarin, Rabbi Yossi matir. V'achi kamer li rabbanan Rabbi Yossi. Hay masa anshe de Tiberia toldos chamahu. V'asri luhu rabbanan. So ultimately, again, the rabbanan are saying to Rabbi Yossi, the case of anshe Tiberia is a case of toldos chama. Now, we are assuming over here, how do the springs of Tiberia become hot? Ultimately, they're heated by the sun. This is a case of toldos chama. Ve'amar lohu hahu toldos arhu. And Rabbi Yossi says, no. Ultimately, again, the case of chamei Tiberia, Bosa, is actually water heated by fire. Get ready for this. This is incredible. Which fire? The chalfi apischa de Gehenim. Wow. Rabbi Yossi, where do the hot springs of Tiberia ultimately get their heat from? They go ahead and they pass by the entranceway of Gehenim. That's where they are heated. So just to understand, by the way, what, without getting overly dramatic, what it also means when it says it passes by the entranceway of Gehenim, what it means is these are thermal springs. Their heat is not derived from the sun. Their heat is actually derived from the earth. But this ultimately, again, is called toldos ha'ar. This is the waters of Tiberias. So there's a fundamental machlokes as to where chamei Tiberia derived their heat from. Are they heated by the sun, in which case they're toldos chama, or are they heated by some type of fire inside the earth, in which case they are toldos ar? It would appear that Rabbi Yossi holds that they are heated by toldos ar. Right, Rabbi Yossi ultimately holds that really it's the chalfi apischa de Gehenim. Look at Rashi for just a moment. I'm sorry. So Rabbi Yossi would hold that actually it's toldos ar, and that's what even Rabbi Yossi would agree that which the people of Tiberia did was actually not appropriate legabe Shabbos. And we'll say, I'll tell you something amazing. What does it mean? Like, what's the mussar that chamei Tiberia passes by the entrance we have Gehenim? So, remember again, the hot springs of Tiberia were an incredible draw. In fact, the Gemara tells stories about people who became so enamored by the Chamei Tiberia, by the springs of Tiberia, that they forgot their learning. The Chamei Tiberia represents a physically pampering oneself, right? Who goes to the hot springs? So let's say go to the hot springs to pamper yourself. So it's very interesting. The hot springs pass by the entranceway to Gehenna. Rabbi would say, is there anything wrong with pampering yourself? No, as long as done in moderation. As long as done in moderation. But just know that when you pamper yourself, when you indulge in the pleasures of Olam Hazeh, when you indulge in Gashmius, if you indulge responsibly, fantastic. But if you overindulge, just know that those indulgences take you right past the entranceway of Gehenna. So I will say, you have to understand, part of the beauty in Yiddishkeit is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not ask us to be ascetic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not ask us to deprive ourselves of physical, of material, of worldly pleasures. He asks us to do something much more complicated, which is to enjoy responsibly. Enjoy what you want. Take what you want. But make sure, again, your overindulgence does not derail your life mission of ruchnius and acquisition of the spiritual. Because know that every beautiful gashmi thing always passes by the entranceway of Gehenna. Use it responsibly and you'll be just wonderful. Chas v'shalom, overindulge. And just know that the entranceway of Gehenna is right there. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, Amar Deis. Mimaisa sha'asu anshei Tiberia. Va'asilu Rabbanon. Bat lahatmana medaver amosif heva va'afilu mi be'od yom. So we'll say, we're actually going to see this sugya. This is quite fascinating. But from this episode from Tiberia, we learned something very interesting. We'll say, there's a concept of hatmana. Hatmana means insulating an object. Insulating an object. So as we're going to get to halachos of hatmana, Erev Shabbos, you are permitted to insulate something as long as it is an insulation which preserves the heat but doesn't intensify the heat. But halacha lemaisa, you cannot go ahead and insulate with a davar hamosif hevel, something that intensifies the heat of the item, even on Erev Shabbos. Where is that learned from? That's learned from the people of Tiberias. So we'll say, just, you know, where this comes up all the time, is sometimes people put stuff on the blech and they want to make sure that it remains hot. So what do? They wrap it in a blanket. Or in a towel. So we'll say, so we're going to see that the halacha is you have to be careful how you wrap an item and what you wrap it with. You could wrap things on Erev Shabbos in a way which maintains their heat, but not which intensifies their heat. Anything that intensifies heat is going to be problematic, even if done on Erev Shabbos. Where do you see this? You see this from Tiberia. Because rabbis didn't like this whole process, I will say, because they actually thought that this notion of going ahead and running the pipe of cold water through the pipe of hot water on Erev Shabbos. So remember again, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's mamish a problem of toldos or. According to the Rabbanan, it's a problem of toldos chama. And even though the Rabbanan hold that toldos chama normally is problematic as well, but it is also an issue of hatmana, of insulating an item. Okay, good. So it says the Gemara. Amra ula halacha ka anshei tiveria. So I say this is great. Ula says, the halacha follows anshei tiveria. Namely, that it's okay to run such a pipe through hot water on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, Amar li Rav Nachman kevar tavrinu anshei Tiberia l'silenu. Too late. The people of Tiberia already dismantled their piping system. Once the rabbis went ahead and said, we don't like this. Also remember again, there was no dissent on this. The Rabban didn't like it. Rabbi Yossi didn't like it. So once that occurred, halacha lemaisa, the people of Tiberia dismantled their pipe system. So also, let's talk about this for just a moment. So now remember again, this is really quite a fascinating sugya. So what is the halacha? So now remember, the Gemara introduces us now to three different manners of cooking. Of course, there's ala ish, right? So, not like a menu options, right? Using fire. So we'll say, so remember again, that doesn't even come into the conversation because everyone understands, of course, that's usser. So remember, three different ways. We have fire. We have toldos or that which is heated by fire. We have chama, sun, and toldos chama, that which is heated by sun. So what's the halacha? Legabi shab, supposed to listen to this. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, this is in Simen Shin Yod Ches Siv Gimel. Writes the Shulchan Aruch, Kishem Sha'asra Levashal Ba'or, the same way you can't cook with fire on Shabbos, Kach Asra Levashal B'Toldos Ar. You are not permitted to cook with something which is heated by fire. Kigon, Litein Beitza B'Tzad Kedera, O L'Shabra Al Sudar Shehucham Ba'or Kedesha Titzla. Therefore, both sides. Like we saw, therefore, Toldos Ar is Asr. Now, the truth is, that's not a surprise. Everybody agrees with that. So not only can you not cook with fire, but you also can't cook with something heated by fire. So if you went ahead and you have a kettle, or in the Shulchan Aruch's example, you have a piece of fabric heated by fire, you can't go ahead and cook the egg on that. That is still going to be problematic. So R is Aser, Toldos R is Aser. However, what about Vafila Betoldos Chama, Kigon Besuda Shulchan Bechama, Aser Gzera Atu Toldos Ar, Bechin Aser Latmina Bechol, Uba Avak Drachim Shulchmu Mikoach Achama. So both says, listen to this. The Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch says, that we paskin ultimately like the Rabbanan. Therefore, again, toldos are that which is heated up by the sun is going to be prohibited for use on Shabbos as well. Why? Why? Lest you come to confuse toldos are with toldos chama. So now we know fire is usher, that which is heated by fire is usher, that which is heated by the sun is going to be usher as well. But that which is heated by the sun is usher, not really because it's inherently usher, but we're concerned that if we allow you to use that, you may come to use toldos ar. However, ava bechama atzma, kegon litin beitza bechama, o litin mayim bechama, kedei shechamu mutter. But halacha lemaisa, the sun itself, Rabosai, is going to be mutter. Going to be mutter. So technically speaking, if you want to heat something up on Shabbos in the sun, ultimately, again, that is mutter on Shabbos. So really quite amazing. Really quite amazing. So both say, therefore, again, what turns out is fire is usher, that which is heated by fire is usher, that which is heated by the sun is usher, but yet the use of the sun itself to heat or even to cook, ultimately, again, would be permitted on Shabbos. Quite amazing. Says the Gemara. Maisa sha'asu anshei Tveria. So remember again, now let's fast forward a little bit. So remember, they said to the people of Tveria, if this is the piping system you have in place, remember again, what did they say? They said, if the water is running through the pipe on Shabbos, then what? Then what? The Mishnah said that it is asher b'rechitzi, can't use it for washing, can't use it for drinking. And if the water ran through the pipe on Yom Tiv, you could go ahead and you can use it for drinking, but you can't use it for washing. So let's analyze what we'll say. So now, just so you know where this is going, this is actually very exciting. I'm giving you coming attractions for your Yom Tiv homework. We're about to start the sugya of bathing on Shabbos and on Yom Tiv, which is very lemaisa. So here we go. Says the Gemara, my rechitza. What does it mean when we say you can't use it for washing? Ilema ruchitzas kol gufo. If we say that, we assume that we're talking about washing your entire body. Elochamin. So we'll say, so if it's saying like this, that the rabbi said, if the water is flowing through the pipe on Shabbos, you can't use it for washing, you can't use it for drinking. So when they said you can't use it for washing on Shabbos, what are we talking about? If we're talking about washing the entire body, then elochamin shukum ba Shabbos udasirin. Are you telling me then that the only problem then on Shabbos is because this water was heated up on Shabbos? But if you had water which was heated up on Erev Shabbos, that you could use it to bathe on Shabbos? Vatanya, we learned. Chamin Shuchmo me Erev Shabbos. Lemacha rotze rocheitz ban panav yadov viraglov avalo kol gufo. Shabbos says, we're going to see, and again, we'll see this sugi in just a bit, as we're going to see, halach lemaisa, if you have water which was heated up on Erev Shabbos, even water heated up on Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos itself, you can use it to wash your hands, your face, and your feet. However, what? You may not go ahead and use it to wash your entire body. Shabbos says, therefore, again, when the Mishnah says over here that they said to the people of Tveria, if the water is running through the pipe on Shabbos itself, you can't use it for washing or for drinking. So you can't use it for washing. What does it mean for washing? If it's talking about washing your whole body, so even if you have water from Erev Shabbos, you can't wash your body. And they're both saying that we don't know why that is yet, right? Because again, think about this for just a moment. If you have water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos, why can't I take a bath with that on Shabbos, right? Why can't, I'm not heating anything up on Shabbos. So again, you'll see it in tomorrow's Gemara. This is going to be something called Gzeras Merchatz. It was the decree of the bathhouses. Essentially, in a nutshell, we were very concerned allowing people to bathe in hot water or shower in hot water on Shabbos, lest they come to heat up that water on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, Ema Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah, Ki biyom tov b'cham in shulchmu biyom tov asram berechitzim etar b'shtiya. But it's similarly on Yom Tov. So again, remember the rabbi said to the people of Tveria, if this water was heated up on Yom Tov, then ultimately again, it is what? It is usher to be used for washing, but it is permitted for drinking. So lema tnan stamak b'shamay. It must be that this is reflecting the view of b'shamay, because what does b'shamay say? Tisnan b'shamay omrim lo yachim adam cham in the raglov ela im kinri in the shtiya. We'll say, Beis Shammai has a very restrictive view even on Yom Tov. And Beis Shammai says on Yom Tov, you are not permitted to heat up water to wash even your hands, face, and feet. But what you can do is as follows. If you heat up water that is fit for drinking, once it's fit for drinking, you could go ahead and use it to wash your hands, your face, and your feet. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, say no. Even l'chatchila on Yom Tov, you are permitted to go ahead and warm up water for the sake of washing your hands, your face, and your feet. They're both saying, just because it's, it's Yom Tov, I'll tell you this, because it's fascinating. The Machlokes Meshameh, so which is the Machlokes in Meseches Be'ah, is a fundamental Machlokes in the definition of Ochel Nefesh. Everyone agrees that on Yom Tov, you are permitted to go ahead and do Malacha for the sake of Ochel Nefesh. The Shaila is, what's the definition of Ochel Nefesh? Beis Shammai is a very limited view. Beis Shammai says, Ochel Nefesh means food. Food. You could do malacha for the sake of food preparation. Therefore, Beis Shammai says the only way you can heat up water is for food purposes. What Beis Shammai says is, however, once you're doing it for food purposes, okay, you could use the water for something else as well. Beis Hillel has a much more expansive definition. Beis Hillel holds the definition of ochel nefesh is any normative need. Any normative need. And therefore, again, according to Beis Hillel, washing your hands, your face, and your feet with hot water is something that people did daily. That's called a normative need. Therefore, you could heat up water for that purpose, even if you're not going to consume that water. But so we obviously know, we pass in like Beis Hillel, we adopt the much more expansive view of Ochel Nefesh to include any normative need. Of course, the Shaila comes up. I see too many smiles here, right? Normative is not defined by what you think, right? So this is where things get a little bit tricky when it comes to Hilchos Yom Tov, is what's considered to be a normative need. Who defines normative? And Rabosa, you could see already how this is going to get into the whole bathing situation, because obviously hygienic standards have changed. I think most of us would agree that going ahead and bathing every day would be a normative daily need. Again, how these things evolve and how these things change, we will see. So the Gemara says as follows: what is the case of the Mishnah? So the case of the Mishnah that we're talking about over here is where a person wants to bathe their entire body. Rashi says, Shenosim al gufo mishtate. A person wants to pour the water on their entire body. V'haytanahu disanyo lo yishtateif adam kol gufo bein mechamin bein bitzonim. So we'll say this is by Shabbos now. It's talking about by Shabbos. That a person should not go ahead and wash their entire body with hot water or with cold water on Shabbos. This is Rabbi Meir. These words are Rabbi Meir. So again, now we don't know why this is yet. So I'm giving you coming attractions for tomorrow's daf that you're going to see. Rabbi Meir, this there used to be, just so you know, just give a little bit of a history lesson. This is actually quite fascinating. Bathhouses used to be open on Shabbos. Rabbi Meir, it's nice. Can you imagine, right? You finish shul, have a little kiddush. And then what? You go to the Schwitz beforehand. It could be that some people went to the Schwitz during the Haftorah already also. It could be that people got a little bit of a head start on this. You made kiddush, you went to the Schwitz during the Haftorah. So they went to the bathhouse. And again, it's not a problem. Why? You structure it very simply. They heat up the water on Erev Shabbos. You prepay, because you used to have to pay to go to the bathhouse. You prepay, they heat up the water on Erev Shabbos, Shalom al Yisrael. What happened? What happened was the balon and the bathhouse attendants were heating up the water on Shabbos. They were telling people that they did it on Erev Shabbos, but in fact, they were heating up the water on Shabbos itself. So once the rabbis saw this, they shut down the bathhouses. So this is what was called the Gzeiras Merchat. So really on a technical level, bathing on Shabbos, leaving aside the other potential malachos that could occur because of bathing, right? Whether it's schit aser, removal of hair, or schit or wringing out of a towel, or again, going in bodies of water, like swimming is aser on Shabbos. swimming is asr on Shabbos. Interestingly enough, out of a different concern of creation of flotation devices, I see Ari Elman is already, he's got his background over here. He's not swimming, by the way. He's going through the Yamsuf. I just want to point out. Mamish, he's had his own Kriyas Yamsuf. So I'll say, so the idea over here is, so a lot of these things, so for example, full body bathing, technically speaking, could be mutter. It has now subsequently become asr on Shabbos. So, we'll say, so remember, So if our mirror says on Shabbos, you cannot bathe. You cannot bathe. Whether you're bathing with hot water, and this obviously would be hot water that was heated up before Shabbos, because you can't heat up hot water on Shabbos. So whether it was hot water that was heated on Erev Shabbos, or cold water, no bathing allowed, says Rabbi Meir. You can't do it. Rabbi Shimon Matir. It's interesting. Rabbi Shimon says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. They both say, Rabbi Shimon says, you can do anything. Now, not anything, but meaning you could bathe in cold water. You could bathe in cold water. And you can also bathe in hot water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos. Right? Both of these things will be permitted. Rabbi Huda says, Bicham in Asr Betzonein Mutter. Rabbi Huda says, both say, you can't use hot water, but you can use cold water. You can use cold water. Amar Rav Chista, so Rabbi says, so three machlokis. Rabbi Meir says everything's asr. Rabbi Shimon says everything is mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda says you can use cold water, but you can't use hot water. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, machlokis bekli. The machlokis ultimately is when halacha lemaaser, you're using water that is in a utensil. So that's when the concern, if you're using water that's in a utensil, that's when the concern might come up that people might say you heated it up today. But if the water ultimately, again, is in, let's say, a structure in the ground, divrei hakol mutter. Everyone will agree that it's mutter. Really? The episode of Tiveria, everything is in the ground. We're dealing with everything in the ground. And yet the rabbi said, you can't do it. To which the Gemara says, "Ela'i itmar halchi itmar." This is what you have to say. Machlokis bekarko. The machlokis Rabbosai between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Huda is when the water is housed in the ground. Aval bekli. But if the water is in a utensil, divrei hakol aser. Everyone will agree that halacha lemaisa it is aser. Amar Rabbi Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Huda. So we'll say, so Rabbi Barachana says the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Excuse me, like Rabbi Huda, I'm sorry. What does Rabbi Huda say? Rabbi Huda says you can't use hot water, even if water was warmed up before Shabbos. But what? You can use cold water. Can use cold water on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yosef, beferish shmielecha o mechlada shmielecha. So Rabbi Yosef says, tell me, Rabbi Bachano, did you hear explicitly that the halacha follows Rabbi Huda? Or are you just inferring that? So the Gemara says, my klala, what does it mean that he would be inferring it? This is fascinating. Amar Rav Tanucha, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yanai, Amar Rav, komakum sha'ata motze shnayim chalukin, ve'echad machriya, halacha kedirei ha-machriya. So we'll say, in general, whenever you find two extreme opinions, and one person is kind of the machriya, one person is the middle opinion, the halacha always follows the middle opinion. I will say, this is actually quite a fascinating statement. Now, this concept doesn't always play out this way, but it really is quite fascinating if you think about it, that halacha says we never follow extremes. We never follow extremes. We are not a people of extremes. Even though we have many people who are extreme, we are not a people of extremes, one way or the other. The halacha always follows the middle opinion. Like the Rambam says, the derech in life follows the derech hamamutza, the middle path. The middle path. So the Gemara says, in general, this is true. Chutz mikule matlonius. Rabosei, remember, we actually had this, except in the case of the rags. Rabosei, we had this before. This is where you have little pieces of cloth, right? So remember, we did these sugyas of three finger breaths. By three finger breaths, or three tfachim. By three tfachim, Shava bisha b'Eliezer machmer Rabbi Yoshua meikol. Even though Rabbi Eliezer is machmer Rabbi Yoshua is meikol. For Rabbi Akiva machria, and Rabbi Akiva is the middle position. In halacha k'tivrei machria. In that case, the halacha does not follow Rabbi Akiva. Why not? Chada de Rabbi Akiva Talmud. Number one, because Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Va'od top of mem. Va'od hadrebe Rabbi Akiva the Gabi Rabbi Yoshua. Furthermore, again, Rabbi Akiva himself ultimately, again, recanted his position and ultimately held like Rabbi Yoshua. So therefore, again, let's come back for just a moment. So if we have Rabbi Rachana saying that the halacha was Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda, namely, not like Rabbi Meir who says you can't bathe in anything, not like Rabbi Shimon who says you can bathe in everything, but rather like Rabbi Huda who says that you could use cold water, but you cannot use hot water. You cannot use hot water. So remember again, they asked Rabbi Rachana, so did you hear this explicitly or are you inferring it? And if he's inferring it, the way he's inferring it is because in general, whenever you have machlokes and you have two opinions who are extreme, one opinion in the middle, we always follow the middle opinion, with an exception that we've seen over here. So Bose says the Gemara, v'imechlala, and if ultimately again, and if ultimately Rabbi Rachana was inferring this, that we follow the middle opinion, I might say, Hanimili b'masnisin. Maybe that's only true with opinions expressed in the Mishnah. Ava b'braisa lo, but maybe in a braisa, ultimately, again, it's not like that. Maybe in a braisa, halacha l'maisa, ultimately, again, we don't follow this paradigm that halacha always follows the middle opinion, to which the Gemara says, Amrele ana b'feirish shmi'ali. To which Rabbi Rachana said, I heard this explicitly. Explicitly, I heard that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, namely that you cannot use hot water, but you can use cold water. So I will say, as we're going to see over the coming days, and I think actually, Mirtz Hashem, no, it'll end. You'll see tomorrow. You'll do your homework tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, and you'll see that this fascinating discussion, both legabe Shabbos and legabe yomtiv. So we'll say, remember again, and they're really two different things. Legabe yomtiv, the discussion of bathing, really focuses on, does bathing fall into the category of ochel nefesh or not? That's really the fundamental shot. Remember again, if it's ochel nefesh, you can do it on yomtiv. If it's not ochel nefesh, you can't do it on yomtiv. So the shayla is, does bathing fall into the category of ochel nefesh or not? That's the yisodzik. So I'll tell you something interesting. What everyone does agree with is washing your hands, your face, and your feet with hot water absolutely is ochal nefesh, right? So that I will say when I say everybody, meaning Beis Shammai will disagree, but that's okay. We don't pass, we pass like Beis Hillel. So everyone agreed that you could definitely turn on hot water to go ahead and wash your face, your feet. Your face, your feet, and your hands. That's not the shayla. The shayla is rechitzas kol gufo. So this is a major machlokes. Again, you'll see these sugyas emir tzashem over the course of tomorrow's daf. In general, we try to be machmir with bathing in hot water on yomtiv. I have a feeling that, again, the Gemara certainly did not accept it as part of ochel nefesh. It's interesting, Ramosha Zechasad Glavracha Paskins and Igris Moshe, by Shabbos, he says that if a person is very sweaty, they can go out and take a cold shower, even on Shabbos. And he actually writes that in his youth in Europe, they would wash with cold water on Shabbos when it was very hot. On Shabbos. So by Yom Tiv, that would certainly be permitted as well. There is a base mayor who holds that ultimately, again, one could go ahead and wash even their entire body with lukewarm water. So conventional wisdom is, contemporary poskim, many of them write, that halacha l'maisa on Yom Tiv, one would be permitted to go ahead and take a lukewarm shower. Not the hot shower, but lukewarm shower. And again, I will say, this could definitely be relied on. Again, I don't know that you have to do it on a 2-day Yom Tiv where it's going to be in the 50s. You know, I think most of us could get by without having to rely on that. But certainly 3-day Yom Tovim, or Shavuos when it's hot, or Sukkot when it's hot, or Eretz Yisrael when it's hot. So certainly, again, one should understand that there are definitely contemporary poskim that allow full body bathing on Yom Tiv. Again, one has to be concerned with the other associated issues. Because again, I will say, again, without getting into all this, because again, I'm kind of giving you tomorrow's daf already today. I'm going to leave something for you to do on your own. So again, there are other issues related to bathing. So for example, if you bathe on Shabbos or Yom Tiv, you can't dry off in a normal fashion out of a concern of pulling out hair. So you have to pat dry, right? That applies to your body, that applies to your head. Using soap, one cannot use bar soap, right? One would only be permitted to use liquids. right, for the purposes of cleaning. So again, even if the act is permitted, one still must be very careful. So maybe Jeremy, when we get the lunch and learns back up and running, Emir Tzashem, we'll go ahead. I think this is a great topic. The Gzeras Merchatz is a good topic. So we'll stop over here. We're going to spend a few moments, for those who are able to stay with us, we're going to spend a few moments on Mesilas Yesharim. For those who have to leave, I wish you a good Yom Tov, a meaningful last days. For those who are able to stay, literally, I'll just keep you for another 5 minutes, just to be able to get in a little bit more, a little bit Musar today.